Good evening. It is Thursday, May 23rd, 2024 at 5:37 p.m. This is the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, Finance and Public Safety Committee. Can we please rise for the pledge? Mr. Clerk, can we please have the roll?
Robin Falsoni-Smith. You signed on to the Zoom. Robin, are you there? You have to unmute. All right, George Kurtica.
Present.
Sarah Wodumski.
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect there are at least two members here. And one on Zoom. So as soon as we hear from her.
Number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I just have one correction. We are going to swap numbers 8 and 9. So we will do the tax suspense list first, and then we will do the request for qualifications, real estate broker for sale of city properties. Second. So that will swap 8 and 9. And I'll make that in a form of a motion.
So moved.
Seconded by George. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Number five, public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak?
Yes. Good evening. Karen Chemises, 25 John Street. Just as with the other meeting, I'm asking that any materials that are associated with the meetings to be placed on the calendar so that there will be full information available to anybody that shows any interest in the city of Derby. My second thing is I see that the city of Derby is having FOI issues, and the issue apparently is in regards to the finance director. And as this is the finance committee, I would ask that you provide some update as to whether or not the city is even considering going back to the old company that we had for 30 years, or if is that something that cannot be accomplished. I would like to have it offered to Mr. Hall to have the opportunity to go back if at all possible. And being that we are not going to be reevaluating properties this year because of the thanks of our legislature, maybe we can use that $50,000 to do the change back to what we should have in the first place. I further also would like to ask from Attorney Baturla whether or not some of the actions that were done in terms of changing the software, if there's anything that we can pursue legally, because certainly every step of the way that there was a problem with that. And I'm personally very upset as a taxpayer to think that we went through all of this, and it was totally wrong. There should be some consequences to the past administration. And I guess that's about it for right now, and have a good evening.
Thank you, Karen. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak? Third and final, anyone from the public who would like to speak? Okay, with that, public portion is closed. Number six, approval of minutes from the February 22nd, 2024 meeting. I will make a motion to table those minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Number seven.
I'm unmuted now.
Hi, Robin.
Hello.
Number seven, approval of the minutes of the April 25th, 2024 meeting. I'll make a motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, second by George, by a nose. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, number eight, the tax suspense list, discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen on the annual tax suspense list. Would you like to come up?
Now you can hear me. If you have, it's open for any discussions, any questions you have. It's a little bit larger this year because this is my first 2 months of being in the town of Derby, city of Derby. I'm at a cleanup stage right now. So that list will help me understand who's with attorneys, who's with marshals, and so forth and so on. So that's basically why it's a little bit high. I was asked earlier why some people that are on the personal properties, that there are people that still own businesses in the town. That, again, it's a cleanup. I have no idea why that wasn't collected, but I need a starting point to go forward to start collecting this money. So this is why I use this list for that. And by state statute, I'm supposed to submit this every year. Any questions?
Okay, so this will continue to be cleaned up.
It can be collected. Just because it's in suspense does not mean it can't be collected. And I can actually keep track of that separately. So next year I can say how much we've collected from that list.
Purpose of putting that in suspense list.
Well, it's basically said it's properties and personal. Well, actually, it's personal property and motor vehicles, the only two that I do. You can do real estate, but I don't want to touch real estate just yet. Like some of the properties that you have as town owned, we can suspend those, but I don't want to do any of that yet until I get this is the first step of the cleanup. But usually the reason why you're doing this is too, is because you're putting it aside so that it's not really looked at as your delinquent list. So it is put aside for that reason too. Again, it's not something that you can't collect though. It's put aside, but it's still something that we still will be very, very eager to continue to collect it. Because anybody that owes the personal property and the motor vehicle, anybody that owes the current taxes, they have to pay the old taxes first anyway. So they'd have to pay that first. So, and it's just a way to, like I said, it's a cleanup. It's for me to know exactly what's going on, break those lists down from the attorneys, like I said, the marshals, the collection agencies, so we can give them more and I can, you know, kind of funnel it to the right places.
Okay. And so what are you specifically asking from this board?
Just to approve it. Approve it. It's okay. Just something I have to bring before mm-hmm. you. But like I said, if you have any other questions, feel free to ask any questions. But again, it's just for approval. And then, like I said, because this is the first time for me, it's a large list.
This is the first time for Derby. It goes back pretty far.
Well, 2000, some of them might have been picking and choosing and not being kind of clean. They just kind of picking and choosing. But it really does need to be just cleaned up because some of these are going to fall off anyway in 15 years. 15 years we can't collect. So, and it's as the date that it was due, it's 15 years. Yeah. Do you have a question?
No, I have a comment. So the ultimate approval of the suspense list will be the Board of Aldermen. So mm-hmm. you would just refer it on to mm-hmm. the Board of Aldermen with maybe a recommendation to approve.
Correct. And from the tax collector, I thank you for putting me first because my puppy dog will like you very much. I got to get home to take him out.
No problem. Okay, are there any more questions or comments from the board members?
I might as well, because everybody wants me to say something. So I appreciate, I know you're 2 months. I didn't know who you were till I just, looked at the list and spun up what your name was. But I know this is probably a long time in coming. I know the Mr. Hall said this goes back a couple of years. I didn't get a chance to look at the list, but I mean, this is a great start. And I think $673,908 is like 1 mil of our taxes. So if we could collect, it'd be nice to collect all of it, but I'm going to at least collect some of it. I think that it's a good step moving forward.
Thank you.
I appreciate all your help. Thank you.
And I actually do have one question. Do you know, now that you've been in the office for at least a couple of weeks, maybe this isn't a fair question, do you know if the city had been reporting delinquent motor vehicle taxes to motor vehicle? Do you have any idea?
Well, that's
funny you say that, because I have been doing those reports, and I have found out that there's some of them that were not. So we have businesses that have not been notified. So once I've actually done a report, it's called a put on report, and I've put it on. And that means that that information went straight to DNB. So no one can register until they pay those taxes.
Correct. That's
so
why I was asking.
Yes. And because it's 3 years now to register your car, a lot of people just sit on those 3 years. I mean, I had a gentleman today come in and say, I owe 3 years. Yes. So he paid the, you know, a portion of it. So we'll get the money, because they have to pay those taxes in order to register their cars. Just to let you know, that's what that means. A put on means I put it on at DNV. They're now flagged that they owe money to the town, the city of Derby, and they'll have to pay that in order to register their vehicle. That's one way. That's a collection way. Oh, do you really want to know?
That's
a big list. This is a whole nother list.
The motor vehicle put on list. What do you have?
4,000.
Wow.
But I took care of it.
And we appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
We do appreciate it.
I told you, I probably look tired because I've been working very hard the last 2 months. Next step is really to attack the real estate too, just to see, you know, how much of the real estate is delinquent, because that's where your bread and butter is, a lot of your bread and butter too. So, you know, I'll continue with a smile on my face. Any other questions?
All right. I will make a motion to recommend to the full board of Aldermen Alderwomen the annual tax suspense list presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Robin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, number 9, request for qualifications. Real estate broker for sale of city properties, discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of Aldermen Alderwomen to procure services of a real estate broker to assist in the sale of city properties.
Good evening. So I passed out earlier a list of city-owned properties. There's currently 48. Now, not all of those, as we've touched on in the last discussion, had to do with are able to be sold. Many of them have deed restrictions. There's, for example, the Inopiac property on Sodom Lane that was given to the city with the idea that it would be used for passive exercise and maybe a bird sanctuary. There is the old Hotchkiss Hose Firehouse building that is on Caroline Street. There's a deed restriction says we can't sell that, but it could be leased for a restaurant. Yeah, people have some ideas for that. But there are other things that we have taken via blight, and we own them. And it's obviously, it's a liability to us, and we shouldn't be holding on to property that we can't use. So what we'd like to do, the administrative team would like to sit and put them in, as Brian would say, buckets. You know, buckets of viable land that could be sold, land that has maybe a decent, in good condition home, maybe some that needs a little repairs, put them into different buckets so that we can decide what we want to do with them. We may not want to sell everything. We might want to use something for a pocket park. We might want to use something for parking. We might want to use something to diminish high density areas. But there are going to be properties that we want to sell and should sell, and none of us have the skills of a real estate agent. So I'm here tonight to ask for qualifications and approval to take on to the full Board of Aldermen the plan for getting a real estate broker for some of these properties.
Linda, is this something that other towns do? I'm not familiar with how they do this.
Man, some do. Yes. Yeah. They go out with an RFP.
Yep.
They may put together a list of, may pick one or may pick one, two, three, and rotate almost like a towing list.
Okay. You yes. Know, I remember those. Yeah.
I knew you'd know that.
I know that one.
Yes. So, but I mean, this is new for the city, and I certainly understand it and endorse the idea. Looking at the list of 48 properties, I can't wait to see the different buckets. It is pretty, it's a pretty interesting list. And there may be a lot of value there. So
I would think so. The other upside to that is, you know, we have some people who are now interested in developing Fountain Lake. Again, if we were to able to get the money to put a road in and start to sell those pieces of property, again, none of us know what the value would be. We would need more professional advice to do that. There's a lot of ways that we can use a real estate agent, but I think this is the best way to start because we don't want to be holding onto all these properties. We can make money from them, and in some ways, they're a liability.
Yeah, I think getting a real estate broker will allow us to tap into some marketing and the ability to sell it to a wider group than we probably could do on our own and get a better price for the city.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in the buckets and myself, and I know former members of the board and current members of the board who've been involved in some of these properties mm-hmm. would be happy to go over the intention of some of the teardowns, what we saw for those particular properties, again, into different buckets. But yeah, getting a broker sounds pretty great and above board to me.
We'd be delighted to include you in helping us fill our buckets. Absolutely. I can see that as a joint venture.
And how are you going to go about picking out brokers? I thought somebody said something and I didn't hear it all the way.
I think we would have to do some interviewing and talk to them about the
If I may, you'd probably start with an RFP the website, invite interested brokers. You may reach out to some of the more active ones in the city to have them submit proposals. And then you go through an interview process. And in the end, you would bring it back to the Board of Aldermen for approval before the listing agreement is signed.
Of course.
So, I mean, that would be the process.
Okay.
Any other questions? Good. All right, then I will make a motion to recommend to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, to procure services of a real estate broker to assist in the sale of city properties. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Second by George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, number 10, tax incentive ordinance, discussions on revisions to the tax incentive ordinance. I printed out a few of our neighboring towns' tax incentive ordinances and documents, and there are a few items within that I think would be behoove us to add potentially to our tax incentive ordinance. As simple as, you know, no tax incentive agreement shall take effect until construction is complete and facility is occupied according to the terms of the abatement agreement. There's notes about the town assessor shall have sole responsibility of determining the value of the assessment, which is the subject of the agreement. I know in the previous tax incentive programs that have been approved in the last few years, there's been no discussion or interaction with the assessor. I don't know if the assessor of our town is involved at all at this point in time. And I think that that would certainly be important. what else? There's other notes that in the event that any applicant moves his or her business without sale or assignment during the period of his or her participation in the tax incentive program, then any tax incentive benefit enjoyed by the applicant under the program shall be forfeited and the applicant shall be required to pay back all taxes that would have been assessed had the applicant not participated in the program. We don't have anything like that in our program as it's written today. Also, there's, you know, some language and some that talks about if taxes become delinquent, you know, some of the repercussions of the delinquency. Just some items that I think we can consider putting in, as well as taking a look at you know, the increased assessment value. We have ours at a max of 5 million, 1.5 million, and 750,000. This was written up 6 years ago. I think that we should take a look at those numbers as well. You know, probably increase that number. Some things to also consider are we have a 7, 5 year, 3 year program. Some of the other towns have ranges of years. Maybe we like that, maybe we don't. 5 to 7 years, 1 to 2 years, based on how much is being the cost of improvements to be constructed. So just some things to consider. Again, I don't have any definites, but just some things that piqued my interest when taking a look at other tax incentive programs around. I don't know if George or Robin have any.
So I think what was presented here is like a draft of other towns.
I think this is a great idea. I think our incentive program for the city of Derby has to be upgraded. You know, but I think that we have a economic development person in town. Yes. So I think that between him and Mr. Hall, our finance director, and whoever, Mr. Bertula, when he's free, to come up with a plan here, you know, put all these together and with the best plan for Derby. That's what we want. You know, as the saying goes, more bang for the bucks. That's what we need. So whatever helps us to that way, this way our taxpayers will see that we're really working hard for them to save them money. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. My one question was, who is going to take ownership?
Brian Hall, finance director for Derby. Yeah, we're glad to hear you try to assign this task to someone, because I think it behooves the city to figure out who owns this, right? And when can they deliver on it? So what I'm hearing is that between Roger and myself, the plan would be to incorporate in your thoughts and feedback, and then deliver something to the Board of Alder, or come back, I guess, to the subcommittee and get approval to move it up.
Sure. And anybody else you could think that wants to join the team on this too.
Okay.
Anybody else in city government that you think should assist with this? I think you reach out to them as well.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think Madam Chair did a great job pulling from neighboring communities, but just some, maybe a good starting point is I know the town of Seymour has a very well done policy that provides a great deal of flexibility and has actually worked extremely well for Seymour. So that might be a nice one to take a look at and maybe start working off of that when you see it. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It actually works. I've seen it in action, and some major taxpayers have committed to new buildings and projects over the years in their industrial park and been rewarded with tax incentives along the way. And there's a lot of flexibility in the program. That's just because I worked on that particular proposal with the Seymour folks when it was created. So you might want to take a look at that. It's not a bad place to start.
Sure. I just would ask that, please, Sarah, send me the materials you've gotten and what you've done and any of your feedback or ideas, George, as well, and do my best to incorporate it in. And then as long as the town clerk's okay, maybe we can interact vis-a-vis email just to try to hammer things out before we come back in, just to expedite things. But
yeah, I think that would be, I think that would be great. And really following, even the what we have on record now has not, quite been followed. I don't think we've ever really had a full presentation and seen the full application with the reasonings, with everything. Go ahead.
I know exactly what Sarah's saying. So when I, it's been my experience in multiple communities, when a tax incentive is being offered, and I'm talking from large communities, some of the largest cities in the state, to relatively small communities like Seymour, there is always data that's provided to the board. If they're going to invest this much, it's projected to create this many jobs. It's projected to increase the tax revenue to the town. And there's always a presentation done. It's always done by administrative staff, in my experience, to the committee, and then ultimately to the Board of Aldermen. In many of those communities, it's done by the Director of Economic Development. In other communities, it's done by, for a smaller community, for example, it was done by Mr. Burke during his time in Seymour. As his title changed over time, he became a
I think in the end, chief administrative officer, it's the position that Mr. Miller currently holds, and he would do the presentation. Rory did in the past, but in Stratford, it was the director of economic development. In some of the larger cities, it's their development staff, but there's always a presentation that's done. It's just not passed up. Here's the agreement and here's the incentive and go vote on it. There's always accompanying information and a professional report. And it, and the other thing I might add, in some communities, it's not done on, like Seymour, because it's very similar in size to Derby. Administrative staff would say, or they would vote to accept an application for a tax incentive, the Board of Selectmen and select persons now. And they would receive it, and there'd be talk about it from the administrative staff, and then off it would go. It would be off the agenda, and the administrative staff would gather up the information and work on it. And then in the end, it would come back maybe yet again for a second time for a final vote with a full presentation. And it doesn't have to be long, but you need all those basic things that I just talked about, plus some others. And you know, and there'd be a recommendation like the Seymour policy. There's a lot of flexibility in there. Percentages, how many years, it all varies, like what Sarah said, depending on the amount of the investment. So as to what is eligible. And so that's very similar. Some of the larger communities do it a little bit different from time to time. They may have what's called a fixed assessment agreement. But all of them share those common traits. There's the work is done by the administrative staff and presented to the committee and then presented to the full board. It's just not given up. Like at our last meeting, for example, right? Our last meeting, there was a tax incentive request, and Attorney Thomas was here. And it was nice hearing from my old friend, Attorney Thomas, but he was very candid. He was a pinch hitter. He came in at the last minute, and I learned a lot of, I heard a lot of war stories about Shelton Zoning. Always amusing. but he was the first to admit, I don't really know anything about this tax incentive. And there should have been like a presentation by staff. The applicant could say something. I've seen applicants come in and make a pitch. I've seen applicant attorneys come in and make a pitch sometimes as part of it. But in the end, administrative staff to the board with all basic economic factors. And that's how it's done.
If you're seeking staff input, just some observations, Mark Carfalo, town clerk. The program is to be an incentive program, so to incentivize development. It shouldn't be for every type of development, or it shouldn't be for every single part of town, because frankly, there's not, to have an incentive to build only residential is really ridiculous, because this program is not supposed to be a windfall to the developer. It's to incentivize the development, or specifically in the reuse of buildings that might be take a little bit more money to renovate, such as the MDD zone where there's a lot of older factories or other areas. I spoke when this current ordinance was introduced, because I think it was short-sighted, because it really kind of, a word you could put on it is kind of could be giving away the store without any analysis. So it, I think it would be also important for the board to consider selecting zones or areas of town where you want to incentivize development. And because other areas might not need it, or you might not want to give away the city's resources, because, you know, we have to be careful stewards of, you know, don't forget we're foregoing income by doing this. So it's like it has a real impact on the mill rate when we do this. So I would urge consideration of like restricting it to certain areas, and to certain types of developments.
So just to echo what Mark was saying, types of development, that is another thing you may want to look at, depending on the zone. There's one community that had a robust economic development program. In the last 10 years, probably one of the hottest types of structures was warehouse distribution centers. And this particular community has access to 95, access to an airport, access to all sorts of things. They built a lot of large warehouse distribution centers. I'm talking massive warehouses. Well, that community finally decided in a bipartisan way, we've got a lot of warehouse distribution. We have a lot of warehouse distribution. We don't think we need any more warehouse distribution. And they actually took out of the categories mm-hmm. eligible for tax incentive or tax abatement in that particular community, the way they phrase it. They took warehouse distribution out, and it's not in their plan anymore, which came as a shock to certain folks.
And part of it could be, one way to look at it is that maybe it's just for redevelopment of existing buildings. There was a day where, we talked about the south side of Main Street when it was could possibly be redeveloping buildings that would be more difficult to renovate. But now you have it's a vacant piece of property. So there's not that added financial burden on the developer. The city has done its job to assemble essentially, most of the parcels at this point. So there, and if there are other incentives that come from the state or the federal government and so forth, is the city's tax incentive necessary for the successful development of this project? Or is it just a windfall to the developer based on an incomplete presentation? I mean, I think requiring the presentation and analysis that's being signed off by whoever the staff that it's going to be, that their name is on it to say, yes, it meets whatever the criteria that you set. Because I think that is a critical point. And, based on the other previous applications, it's been less than a full adherence to the process or the ordinance, even for good developments.
Do you know, I know outside of the one from last week, how many other people over the 6 years have applied for this application?
Two.
Okay. So,
but the amount of money that the city's foregoing is significant.
Well, and if you're talking about these two, the two most recent buildings, right? But I don't believe that they were actually part of the tax. I don't believe they adhered to this plan, correct?
I think they did and then some, because it was
right. Meaning they went above and beyond.
Well, but it was this process and, I mean, this ordinance plus, and in, I think, one case, more than that.
Yeah. Right. So my only concern would obviously be just if we've only had two with the current one, putting something in more restrictive or less incentivized, we'll have zero in that. That is not what we want either, right? So, but I agree. We can certainly try to do better here. And I didn't hear anything about, that seemed like it was going completely different. It seemed like it was just a lot more of protection, which makes sense. I do think we have to figure out how we can drive more business one way or the other. And if hopefully this plan works, but.
Well, and part of it is the philosophical question, is it to drive business because we didn't really get any business. We gave the incentives and we got residential units. That's what we got. There's no retail, no jobs were created other than the temporary construction jobs. It's just residential. I mean, which is if that's what the policy was intended for, then then I guess that's what it is. But if the city's priority in an overall plan for development is mixed use or more jobs or to grow the tax base, then that's a, you know, that's to your consideration.
And I think also that you identify open parcels of land in the city. Like I know there's a, there's a big parcel on the Derby Orange town line that many years ago, that's where the new, the high Derby High was supposed to go. The golf course was supposed to go down and back there behind Fieldview Farms. That's behind, that's City of Derby property. That's a big track back there. So along you can identify, you got Fountain Lake, a couple other places that we could use this incentive for to bring people in to supplant our tax base.
Yeah, and it sounds like a focus on commercial business property is probably more of the real need than perhaps more residential spaces, is kind of what I'm hearing. So, but obviously let's continue to talk about it and try to come up with a plan that works and spurs development, right? I'm sure we're all, that's our goal. So
yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. And yes, and it may, you know, be worth it to have another discussion soon of if we're just talking about the south side of Main Street, what is the master plan? And, you know, let's work this incentive program to, you know, businesses, people who are in line with our vision, and making sure, yeah, that we're not overloading it with warehouses like the other city attorney Paterla was saying.
I wish I could say I was kidding about that, but that's true. And you know what? It's not a bad use, but they decided they had enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, or at least enough that they were subsidizing with tax incentive, tax abatement agreements.
Mm-hmm. Robin, did you have something to say?
No, I agree. It should be, I always thought it was more for businesses to bring people into Derby and create jobs. I didn't really think it was for more apartments and houses. That's the way we're going, right? When you're talking about south side of Main Street is more businesses with this tax incentives or?
I'm not sure what the current plan is. I know from time to time the plan varied, but there was always, at least in my recollection, it was always contemplated there'd be some level of residential use in the south side of Main Street, along with other mixed uses, because the idea was both you're relatively close to the you know, the transit okay. corridor, and then the idea was
to have stores on the bottom almost.
Yeah, but for those of us who remember Milford Center before it became sort of what it is now, the idea was to create residential use, which would put people in the area, which would help sustain and drive restaurants and shops and other types of businesses. I've sat through so many presentations. I think the Mr. Town Clerk and I sat through presentations on this sort of thing in the old days. And then I know that you had a charrette. I know you've had different things over the years. During my time away from Derby, that, but I think they all contemplated some level of residential use over there. And like you said, Robin, shops, you know, maybe shops in the bottom. But so it's going to be a
both.
It's going to be both, probably. probably in this day and age, but that's what you always identified. I think the city, through multiple administrations and multiple professional organizations from God, Bert Sacco's firm, whose the name is escaping me. I don't remember Bert's firm's name, to Milona McBroom, which is now SLA, and other professional firms that were brought in, including the firm that the city brought in for the charrette. I think everyone has made the same sort of recommendation. So Milford Center, my perspective from going back to when I was a little boy to a young lawyer, Milford Center has changed dramatically. And what changed it in a big way was the creation of higher density apartment condo development around the center and in the center. And that in turn started to create the restaurants. And one restaurant led to a second restaurant, a third restaurant, four, you know, five. I mean, I don't know how many there are in Milford Center now. There are many. And that just kept feeding on itself. And the train station is there, of course, and their harbor, which is another natural resource that they have. But that happened over a long period of time, but it was in large part driven by higher end residential use through apartment development. And you can almost go back and look at the apartment development over a period of time, plus some office use. And recently you see some office use going away and there being more development. If you see the massive project along the train tracks where Smith Funeral Home was, for example, that's the latest massive residential project there. But every time you turn around, there seems to be more residential driven and more restaurant usage. And so it actually, that sort of plan actually worked for Milford Center. But it literally was 40 years developing, you know, when it had ups and downs, recessions would come, buildings would get foreclosed on, then they'd get back out and then the economy would start booming again and they'd start developing. And finally, some well-known developers who were really good at what they did had a vision and started turning old factories and other things into modern apartments. So you have a rare opportunity across the street. It took a while, but most of the property's been assembled and it's been cleared. So it's, to some extent, it's going to be ready for development, and you have 34 coming along at the right time. You have a lot of great things going for you now. So we just have a few more things to clear up over there, literally.
Any more discussion? No. Okay, we'll get you guys some information and continue this next month. Okay, number 11. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Adjourn.
Motion by Robin. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
At 6:26 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.